Church, where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right?
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
Yeah, that's pretty good. The only sad part is there's an element of truth to it. You know, that's kind of the sad thing is that, you know, we may be more discreet than what they depicted on the video, but in the back of our minds, we're oftentimes thinking some of the same things. We come here expecting the church to serve us, to take care of all of our needs, to make sure that we're happy, to make us feel good, to just take care of all of our desires. It's just there for us. We come here with the thought in the back of our minds that it's all about me. It's all about me. But God is clear in His Word that it's not all about me. It's not all about you. God created us for something. God created us for the church. Specifically, we're created to live in fellowship in the church. Fellowship, it's one of those kind of funky Bible words, you know. It's like, what does that mean? We kind of get a weird feeling about it. Well, the word fellowship in the Bible simply means loving one another. That's the word. What the word fellowship means, it means loving one another. And God says this over and over and over again throughout the Bible. In 1 Peter 2:17, He simply says, love your Christian brothers and sisters. That's what God wants us to do. Doesn't sound too hard, at least understanding it. That's what God wants us to do. It's one of His purposes for your life, is to love your fellow brothers and sisters. God wants you to learn to love the people in your church family. Now you might think, well, why would God want me to do that? I'm perfectly fine just loving myself. Why would I want to screw that up, you know? Why? Well, there are several reasons why God wants you to love your fellow brothers and sisters. First, your physical family will eventually fall apart. In fact, many of them fall apart right here on earth. But your spiritual family is going to go on forever. It will last forever and ever and ever on into eternity. And so you're going to spend more time with your spiritual family, the church, than you'll ever spend with your physical family. Secondly, it makes us more like God, because God is love, as 1 John 4:8 tells us. And we are no better reflecting God to this world than we are actively loving one another. And it's good practice. It's good practice for eternity. One of the things that you're going to be doing in eternity in heaven is love God. The other thing that you're going to be doing in heaven is loving everyone else who is with you. It's going to be a place of love. So for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we've got to learn how to love one another right now. So fellowship is loving God's family. God emphatically states this in 1 John 4:21. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God, look at this word, must also love his brother. That's pretty strong. At Faith Walkers, I was at Faith Walkers with my family. It's just an incredible experience. Well, at Faith Walkers, Doug Brown was talking about the church. And he said that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I'd like to add to that, that you will never go together for very long if we don't learn how to love one another. Now the truth is, in God's family, there are four levels of fellowship. And we're going to take a brief look at each one of them because God created you for this. And as we start out this new calendar year, I believe there should be no reason for any of us to miss out on God's purpose for our lives. So pray with me that God might speak to us and help us understand his will for us. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I pray for myself, for everyone here, that we might adopt a learner's heart this morning. A spirit that says, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. We're here. Our ears are wide open. Tell me, what am I to do? What am I to believe? How should I be thinking? God, enlighten us with your truth. Your word is truth. And I pray you would lead us in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first level of fellowship is membership. Now again, the word membership is a word that can weird some people out. But all this word means is choosing to belong. You choose to belong. You make a choice to belong to something. Believe it or not, this is the most basic level of fellowship. It means you find a church family and you choose to get connected to it. Look at what the Bible has to say in Ephesians 2:19. It says, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's, of the household of God. Anyone can be a member and belong to the church, but it's something you must choose to do. Fellowship begins with making that choice. When you are born, you are automatically in the human race. But you have to choose to belong to the family of God, which is the church. And this starts, the entry point for that is to become a child of God. John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So just because you're a member of the human race does not mean you are a member of God's family. You have to choose to be a member of God's family. You choose that by intentionally believing in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross as the payment for your sins, and by receiving his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into your life. Ask God for that. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now there's a symbol for that decision to belong to Christ, to his body. It's called baptism. Baptism is the picture that we belong together in the body of Christ. And I like the picture that's given for us in Acts 16:15. It says, "When Lydia and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my house.' And she persuaded us." Lydia now belonged. She realized that she was part of a new family now. And she invited them into her home. Baptism is a public way of saying, "I am a part of a group of believers, and I am excited to belong to this group of believers." At Faith Walkers, we had the joy of seeing four people with our church get baptized. They were Holly Baker, Sarah McClanahan, Jenny Lyon, and Holly Varnum. It's a pretty cool deal. And we're going to be offering another opportunity for anyone here to get baptized in about the middle of February. So if that's a step of faith you have yet to take, you may want to start thinking and praying about that. You'll have your chance middle of next month. Now, some people say, "Well, Tim, I'm already a Christian and all that, but I don't want to belong to any church." That doesn't make any sense. The church is where you live out what it means to be a Christian. It's like saying, "Well, hey, Tim, I'm a football player, but I don't want to belong to any team." Well, that's ridiculous. You're just fooling yourself. A Christian without a church family is an orphan, a stray. God meant for us to be a part of a family. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, verse 5, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member," get this word, "belongs." Each member belongs to all the others. In this decision that we make, you belong to every other Christian. We are members together. Just like your hand is a member of your body. That's how tight God intends membership to be. Now, to my knowledge, it's only in America that we experience this person called the floating Christian, or what's commonly called your church hoppers. They go to church, from church to church to church, you know, depending on, you know, whether they like what's going on there or who offended them last. But God's view of membership is like the members of a physical body. You are a part of it. And by being a part, you make the greater whole healthier. You don't just suck the life out of it and then go on and find a new body. You are a part, a necessary part. In our church, you can formalize your local membership here by going through the discovery class. And we'll be offering that again at the end of March. So again, if that's not something you've done, you can remember that. You can be praying for that, listening for that, the end of March. Now, the second level of fellowship is a little bit deeper, where you go a little bit further into the family of God. And this is where you learn to share. Let's simply call this the friendship level. The friendship level of fellowship. You see, we were created in God's image. That would mean we are created in the image of a Trinity. We were created for relationship, created for friendship. So you are made for that. And the Bible depicts this. One great place is in Acts 2:44. It says, "And all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had." We just need to realize two things here. One, you can't develop friendships without meeting together. You've got to be able to meet together to develop those friendships. You've got to connect. And two, you can't develop friendships without sharing. And the best place for that to happen in this church is in what we call life groups. I mean, this should be obvious to all of us that the more frequently you get together with somebody, the closer you're going to get to them. That's just not that hard to understand. It's just a human dynamic. The more often you get together, the more often you meet, the closer you'll get to each other. And like membership, this too requires a choice. You need to choose to develop friendships by making them a priority in your life. That's what life groups are all about. Choosing to spend more time with particular believers in your church so that you can develop deeper friendships with them. And you can't develop deeper friendships without sharing. Acts 2 said they shared everything. It's like, what? I mean, does God really mean that? Does he want us to share everything? I mean, is he serious? Well, I suspect so. But how about I just share with you three things that you can begin sharing with others for starters. First of all, we're to share our experiences. The Bible says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise." It is wise to learn from the experiences of other people because you just don't have enough time to make all the mistakes for yourself. Learn from other people's mistakes. You know, you'll be dead before you figure it all out. And so God, He offers us a shortcut, a way to learn a lot quicker. And that's by learning from the experiences of others. You do that and it will spare you from a lot of unnecessary pain. The Bible says we're also to share our problems. We were never meant to face our problems alone. The Bible says, "Share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ." You don't have to fix everybody's problems. God doesn't tell us to do that. It just says, share them. It means lend a listening ear. Enter into their pain for a while. If God wants you to do something about it, He will make that clear to you. The last one I'll mention this morning is the Bible says we're to share our homes. Share our homes. 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Cheerfully share your home." Open them up to people. Let people come on in. Now, why would God want us to share our homes? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you cannot fellowship at the friendship level in a crowd. You can only fellowship at this level in a small group or one-on-one. God wants us to learn to share. And like I said, in our church, the best place that we've got for that is in life groups. Our life groups meet at different times and different days. And if you would like to investigate one again, maybe you were part of one, you are no longer, if you'd like to investigate one again, or maybe you'd like to try one out for the first time, well, I've got good news for you. We've got Tim Hibbing stationed at a life group table right out in the foyer, and you make a beeline to him, and he will do all that he can to get you connected to the group that's best for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. I hope that you all will never give up on this habit, because you're always going to need friends that you can share with. The third level of fellowship is partnership. Partnership is simply doing your part. It's doing my part. It's engaging. It's realizing that I've got a contribution to make, that the church needs, it needs me. It's realizing it needs me. And I've got something to offer here. I can make a difference here. Listen, God did not bring you to Stonebrook so that you could sit and soak in some spiritual spa. God brought you here to serve. He wants you to serve. He wants you to contribute. He wants you to make a difference with your life right here. In every family, there are family responsibilities. You know, you divide up the chores. We've got that on our refrigerator. We've got the chores divided up with different members of the family. Well, this is God's family. The church is God's family. And every one of us has a part to play. The Bible is filled with verses about how you and I are to work together to get this job done. There are 58, guys, 58 verses that are considered to be one another verses. How we are to serve one another, forgive one another, pray for one another. There's even verses about putting up with one another. This is how it works, guys. It's how it works. This is love in action, not just words. You see, it's great to share your heart. That's the second level of fellowship. It's even greater to do your part. That's the third level of fellowship. Listen to what the Bible has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. We are God's fellow workers. We are fellow workers. We are partners here, working together for God. God thanked the Philippians for their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. In the New Testament Greek, the word for fellowship is oftentimes translated partnership. That's how closely connected these words are. Have you guys ever wanted to be a part of a team that just did something great? I mean, they just a huge accomplishment. I mean, they win a championship or something like that. Have you ever wanted to be a part of a winning team? Well, you can be a part of the greatest team on earth, the church. By taking part on the church, you can become more than a champion in Christ. And what you win lasts forever. But in order to be a part, you've got to find your place, your niche, where you fit in. I mean, where do I fit? How do I fit? You know, where's my place here? The Bible tells us that we all have a niche. Ephesians 4:16 says, the whole body is fitted together perfectly, which, by the way, that's God's part. He fits us together perfectly. He puts us right where He wants us to be. And then it goes on, it says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You see, did you notice those words? Each part? That's me. That's you. We each have a part to play in God's body, the church. We each have a role to play. And as we engage in that, as we cooperate in that, we get more done together than we could ever get done alone. But there is an attitude here, a heart attitude that is key. It is critical for me, for you, for all of us to have. That when we engage, when we begin to participate and partner and do, that it's done for Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that this is the attitude that distinguishes the sheep from the goats in Matthew 25, verse 40, where he says, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." I encourage you guys, take this practical action step this year. Look for a practical need to meet in your life group, if you're in one, or a need in the church at large. Tim's life group table will also have ministry brochures where you can find out what are the needs in this church. When I come in, it looks like everything's taken care of. What's there for me to do? Pick up that ministry brochure. You will be amazed at how many needs we have in this church. How many things are not getting done? How many things could get done if we had more people participate? If we had more people partner up? So pick up one of those brochures. Look it over and decide to partner with us in the greatest work. Greatest work on earth. Now the deepest level of fellowship in the family of God is kinship. It's an old word. We don't really use it much anymore. It literally means your closest relationships, your closest family. Kinship is treating and loving believers like their family. It's being completely committed to them, loyal to them, devoted to them. The Bible describes this. Over and again, one place that we have commonly put forth in this church is Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. You connect that? They devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love." Now the word fellowship in the Bible is the Greek word koinonia. And the basic root of that word literally means being as committed to each other as you are to Jesus Christ. That is the deepest level of fellowship. That is kinship. That is saying, I'm so committed to this friendship that I am willing to sacrifice for you. It's the level reflected in 1 John 3:16, which says, "We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us." And we ought to, get this, guys, we ought to what? Give up our lives. It's not my words. We ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. This level of fellowship is the kind of love that Jesus Christ has for you. It's the fellowship of suffering. Frankly, here in America, we are not very familiar with this level of fellowship. Overseas, a lot of Christians do, because they are being aggressively persecuted for their faith. Reportedly, 171,000 Christians lose their lives each year because they belong to Jesus Christ. People in other places are taking this verse, 1 John 3:16, literally. They are laying down their lives for each other. They are taking a bullet for their brother and their sister. They're standing by them. They're suffering for one another. Now, even though we're not persecuted like that in America, we can still experience this level of fellowship. How? Well, one way is by standing with a fellow believer when they're going through a crisis. Does somebody come to mind that you know of that's going through a really hard time? I mean, it's ugly. You don't even want to go there. You don't even want to think about it. But they're coming to mind right now. Someone you know who's personally experiencing a crisis in their life. Kinship is when everyone else is walking out, you walk in. You're there for them. During those ugly times, for what, a 15-minute phone call, maybe an afternoon? No, as long as it takes. That's kinship. It's also seen by persevering through someone else's mistakes, someone else's sins or personal weaknesses that have painfully affected your life. I mean, they may be oblivious to the fact that what they are doing is hurting you, but that doesn't matter. You don't give up on them at the kinship level of fellowship. You don't cut and run. You hang in there, maybe correcting them if there's error, maybe just letting it go to God. But you give up on your right to run and hide. You enter into the fellowship of suffering for your brother or your sister in Christ. Kinship is loving someone when it hurts to do so. During the first century, when Christians were being fed to the lions and burned at the stake, a secular historian who was observing the behavior of the Christians during this time wrote, "Behold how they love one another." You see, that's what we want Stonebrook Community Church to be known for. It's not our heritage. It's not our rock and roll band. It's not our, you know, strategy. It's not even our fancy Zeke's building. We want to be known for our love. We want people to say, that's the place where they really love one another. Guys, this is what life is all about. This is the purpose for which God has created you, to love God and learn how to love each other. It's why He made you. If you miss this, you have missed your purpose. In life, it's because life, guys, is not about accomplishments. It's about relationships. You were put here on this earth to know and love God and to know and love the church. Because that's whom you'll be spending eternity with. So let me ask you a couple of relevant questions. Which of these levels of fellowship are you at? Have you made it to the first level of fellowship? Have you chosen to belong to Christ? Have you gotten baptized in His name? If not, and you would like to, He's like, I'd like to be a child of God. How does that work? Please come and talk to me. Talk to somebody that you know real well here. Don't go much longer without answering that question. Find out what it means to be a child of God that you might knowledgeably choose Him. Have you gotten to that first level of membership? Have you made a choice to commit to a local church? We invite you to choose Stonebrook Community Church if you would have us. We welcome you in. There's room for you here. There's a place for you here. Then you need to learn to share in a small group of Christian friends. At Stonebrook, we call them life groups. It's a time when Christians pursue friendships by sharing their lives in common. Again, Tim Hibbing will be standing out there. If you would like to know, what are these life groups? What do they do? How can I be involved? You talk to Tim. He'll help you out. Then you need to not just know how to share your heart, you need to do your part. That's partnership. To do your part. Find your niche. Find a way to give back to the family. Make a difference with your life in the greatest cause on earth. Then you can move into the deepest level of fellowship. Are there any believers in your life that know that you are devoted to them? Do they know that? Do they know that you are willing to enter into the fellowship of suffering for them? Does anyone know that? That you're willing to be there for their problems, for their messes, for the things that they do that hurt you, that hurt others. Do they know that? Will you do that? Very few will. Very few, when they're tested in that, they don't prove themselves to have the willingness to go to that level of fellowship. But if you do go there, you will discover at the most intimate level, at the most treasured level, you will experience what you were created for. You will discover that you were created for a place such as this, for the church. Let's pray. Mighty God, I want to thank you for revealing your will for us. We do not have to wander like blind men in a dark room looking for something that's not there. You have enlightened us with your truth. Thank you for your truth. Now, God, I ask you for the grace and the strength to live it. God, help us, empower us. Lord, help us not to just walk out of here and forget, like the man who looks at the mirror and then turns around and he forgets what he looks like. I pray we would not be like that. I pray that we would take action and respond to your truth. And we would walk into the fellowship of membership, belonging to the church, of friendship, being a part of a life group, of partnership, doing our part to keep the greatest thing on earth moving forward, touching more lives for the good, for the gospel. And even to walk through the fellowship of suffering and demonstrate true kinship fellowship, one for another. I pray, God, you'd make us a church like that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and I'll see you all next week.